Hello, today is Friday, January 11th, 2019. I'm Joe Schmidt with TC2, and this is Staying Connected. Let's start this year off by helping you actually book savings on your network services. Now, if you work with TC2 or LB3, you know that you need to competitively procure your network services to get the best deal. There's always a way to create competition and a healthy tension with suppliers via an RFP or market benchmarking. And sometimes new technologies and services come along that can really move the savings needle. For example, last year we saw some significant cost reductions when clients migrated MPLS to SD-WAN using broadband and internet connections, when they moved from TDM voice to SIP trunking, when they retired their legacy telephony equipment and moved to UC, and many aggressively moved from their premise-based data center to the cloud. So while savings are available if you put in the effort, today we'll look at the mistakes that could happen that will erode your cost savings. I'm joined by my colleague, Teresa Knutson, a fellow TC2 project director who has a ton of experience helping clients book those hard-fought savings. Teresa, thanks for joining me.
Hey, Joe. This is a great topic to start off the new year with. When the projects that you described are considered, there's typically a business case to do so. So, for example, if you replace a certain number of MPLS circuits with broadband or internet, you can save a certain amount of money. And that's a really simplistic view, but a lot of financial modeling goes into developing a business case. And that business case is based on the timing of when you implement the new services as well as when you disconnect the older or more expensive or outdated services. So business case models should include some overlap to provide for continuity of service. So say you have the old and new service running for 1 to 2 months, but after that, the services should drop off. The models typically include credits that are negotiated, one-time costs, and provide some type of cushion for some unknown, unexpected delays. And very experienced business case developers also include things like external legal costs, internal project management costs, and also factor in variances in vendors' regulatory fee structures. So bottom line, an accurate business case model is essential. At the end of the day, only projects that have a business case that delivers savings are typically approved. And these projects that you described earlier drive substantial savings. These projects really get great buy-in from CIOs and CFOs alike. Everyone's very happy. Savings are banked when the contracts are signed. There's big parties. Everyone's happy. Things are great. Then 6-7 months later, things start falling apart. What are happening to the savings we banked? Why aren't the financials actually matching up to our plan?
So what happens? Is the business case flawed, or is this a situation where the team just doesn't get the ball over the goal line?
Well, things can happen that cause your actual results to drastically vary from the savings that you planned, and here's why. So a project is normally considered complete when the contracts are executed and the new services are ordered. And oftentimes, no one is assigned the task of making sure that the replaced services are actually disconnected. Or say in simple cases where you have priced down an existing cost, that the actual costs do go down in the invoices. So things go awry, whether you're migrating to MPLS to SD-WAN, if you're migrating from TDM to SIP, all the projects that you describe, and even in simple cases where you're just simply expecting a price down based on a contract amendment.
So sadly, what you described isn't uncommon in companies. It just seems that people have to get back to their day job and probably roll off the project too soon. So in your opinion, what can companies do to improve their chances that the business case-driven projects are successful?
Well, an absolute final step that is needed is to validate that any business case-driven cost savings project is to make sure that all tasks are completed in order to realize those benefits. So how do you do this? Well, the devil is definitely in the details. I suggest that the original business case be used as a budget model to track the actual results. You can map out when new circuits are ordered and when they're installed, make sure that services that have been replaced actually get disconnected and you know those dates. And so the business case will quickly fall apart if you are buying the cheaper new service and still paying for the older expensive service longer than you planned. So if you use the original business case as a budget for the cost savings and track that as your actual versus budget model, you'll quickly be able to identify why your savings are different than what was originally planned. And it becomes a great discussion tool for your CIOs and CFOs who originally approved the project, especially if you have to explain why your actual results are very different than what you planned. And everyone should expect variations due to typical business operation factors, delivery time on circuits, and different things happen. But it is viewed very positively by your executive team if you can give them a heads up if things start to vary from plan and you can explain why. And maybe you have a positive situation where your project is moving ahead much faster than you planned and your savings are actually exceeding what was modeled. It's also a good thing to know and to use as your internal project success PR.
I agree with that. I think there's nothing worse than being called out in a senior executive meeting by finance asking why savings aren't there. I think many of us have had that happen before, and you really just don't want that to happen ever again. You know, I think sometimes the problem is that certain stakeholders aren't completely comfortable with the new technology, so they keep the old technology in longer than planned. An engineer might delay disconnecting those MPLS circuits until the SD-WAN solution proves to be reliable, or the voice folks won't pull out those PRI circuits until they get more comfortable with SIP or the UC solution. I've actually seen it a lot.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, what's really amazing is that essentially the viewed success of these newer, faster, better technology migrations isn't really about whether the new service delivers. The new services people are typically very happy with. They deliver above and beyond the expectations in terms of getting more for less. But the projects themselves are viewed successful if they deliver upon the savings as planned or modeled. So actual cost savings results are dependent on a lot of things. We talked about the business operation facts, but also doing some basic audit checks. Things go significantly awry when old services aren't disconnected or new rates aren't implemented correctly, or you didn't make sure that you got your non-recurring waivers or credits. So you get the gist of it. It's really about checking all of the things after the project is in flight.
You know, what we find is that enterprises, they can rely on their telecom expense management partners to do some of this work that you described, but if you have a large business case-driven project, it is essential that the team who drove that original project or the negotiation verifies that the actual results are coming through as planned. And if not, then that same team should know why or why not. So, Teresa, what about the more mundane tasks, like making sure the supplier is delivering what they said they would?
Yeah, I always go back to the devil's in the details, lots of details. You think about in situations where you've negotiated for simple price downs on existing services, either through like a benchmarking clause or just a specific targeted rate negotiation. You have to verify that you're getting what you've negotiated after the contract is signed. So typically 1 to 2 months after an amendment or a contract is signed, it's good to go back and check that the new rates are implemented correctly in the invoices and they're implemented on time. And if you've negotiated for waivers or credits, you should confirm that you actually get those waivers or credits. I mean, I spend a good part of my time each month helping my clients verify that they are getting the benefits they've negotiated. And most often, suppliers don't get it right the first time. They don't get it done timely, or sometimes they even miss it completely. This past year, I had a situation where a client had a rate review, a negotiation amendment that was completed very early in 2018. And after reviewing the actual bills, you know, a few months later, we found out only half of the rates were reduced. So in working with that supplier, we're like, what's going on? Tell us what's happening. They said, well, we need another amendment to really operationalize or really make those rate implementations all completely done. So there's always checks that need to be done.
Okay, Teresa, we are about out of time. Do you have any parting comments?
Yeah, I highly suggest that companies stay vigilant and continually review what services they're actually using and buying and know what you're paying for those services. That's because things change. You know, monitor your inventory and your invoices to make sure you understand when those changes occur, and then negotiate new pricing when that demand changes. For example, you'll never be able to anticipate every size of port that you might need, and maybe today you're using 100 meg circuits and tomorrow you're going to be using 1 gig circuits. You need to know where to put the negotiation efforts. So if your demand changes, focus some targeted negotiations on getting improvements. Bottom line, I say this often, is that you have to know the details and you continually need to follow up with your suppliers to make sure that you get what you're paying for and you're paying correctly for what you get.
Okay, thanks again, Teresa, for joining me. If you'd like to learn more about how to improve your processes so that you can realize your business case's ROI, or if you have other ICT needs, you can contact Teresa, me, or any of our TC2 and LB3 colleagues by giving us a call or sending us an email. You can also stay current by checking out our websites or follow us on LinkedIn.